Welcome to On Air with Tatiana D.
The hottest motivation show in your suburbs.
Do you feel the daily routine is catching up?
Are you a champion of your game?
And you need an extra dose of positivity?
Let's find out together how to live a happier life without stress or negativity. This is a story-driven podcast where we talk about motivation, inspiration, and success in almost our post-COVID reality.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, my friends. I hope you are all well and full of enthusiasm, because I certainly am. Passion and determination are two of the most important things which make a huge difference between job and career. Don't you agree? Let me ask you something. Are you stuck in the office from 9 till 5, just doing what you're told to do and never, I mean never, can completely satisfy your boss? Or you dare to go after what you dream, no matter how hard it is, and now are working on with everything you've got to make your dream happen? Well, today I have here a guest who just called from United Kingdom. I have him on Zoom. And he did just that. He had a dream and he has persevered. Let me introduce you to Stephen Murphy, or as he called himself, Stephen the filmmaker.
From the bloody, sweaty cage fights to the movie that I just share.
Yeah.
Filling your cab in the middle to make the ends meet. Looks
yes.
to me like it's a very compelling story to share with others.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit of everything. Yeah, a bit of everything going on all at once. Yeah, because I tried to get into my drama course, local drama course, when I left school, when I was 17 or 18. But I was working full-time as a bouncer and a care worker, and I was turned down for the course. They said the tutor, he's a bit of a snob. He said I wouldn't be able to devote the time because all the other students were funded by their parents. So I was a bit crushed. You know, when you're at 17, you think your dreams are over. So I went back the next year. It was the same guy. And then he said, your lifestyle isn't conducive to the other students. So basically, he just kind of like called me a thug. So then I drifted for 15 years. I thought all I wanted to do was be in acting and drama. That's all I wanted to do. So I kind of like self-destructed. I became addicted to alcohol. I was in and out of all different jobs, and I joined the army, but I could never settle into anything because it wasn't what I was doing. And then one day when I was in the army, I told them I wanted to leave. And they said, why? And I said, well, I want to go and write screenplays. And like they kind of laughed at me. That's the day I left. And then I went back to the same course when I was 15 years older. This time they thought I was one of the parents, but it was a different tutor. He was really nice. I got on.
Uh-huh.
I passed my theatre degree, even though I was still working full time. And then after that, I mean, I wanted to be in films, but I didn't know how he did that. My life didn't revolve around artistic people. I was just in gyms and pubs and boxing gyms. So I decided to write my own simple two-man play. You know, no props, no effects, no nothing. Just two of us on stage for an hour and a half about my experiences as a bouncer. And we did it. We played it in a local venue and sold out two nights running. And it was the greatest experience of my life. It gave me my confidence back because I'd lost all my confidence and felt pretty worthless. So it made me feel like maybe I could do something, you know, I was worthwhile. So, that's still to this day, that's the greatest experience of my life.
Definitely, because that man actually, yes, I believe that he crushed you, but
yeah,
he made you who you are today.
It made
you a detour, but however...
Yeah, because I look back on it and I think, well, it's good because he fueled me. And, you know, and now all my writing, I write about all the experiences I've been through, especially bad experiences, especially when I used to stand on the door in pubs and nightclubs, night after night after night, dealing with horrible people. And I promised to myself that I would make these experiences count one day, which hopefully I'm doing now. And any bad experience that we go through in life, you know, divorce, death, whatever it is, I just want to make those experiences count. But yeah, but when I do think back, I mean, that tutor, it really annoys me what he said to a young person at 17 or 18, you know, even if I was rubbish, but just the way he spoke to me, it was like I was a bit of trash. Exactly. You know, tutors, even if they said, look, this isn't for you, maybe go away, practice, whatever, but don't just brush kids off. You know, that's when kids get lost. They get lost in systems, and
you are correct. You know, yes,
they can become lose their way in life. You know, so you got to treat people with respect. You know,
exactly. And you think when it comes to acting, it's supposed to portray all aspects of life. So even if you look like a thug to the
doctor,
he still should have given you a chance for two reasons, to maybe turn you around and to portray what you know, your experience.
Exactly.
Too bad on him.
It's funny because I've always had these two sides to my character in my life. I've always had like the gyms, the boxing and the weightlifting. So I've had the physical side, but then I've been in plays and drama. Not everybody, but people in the gyms and like the blue collar people, they're just accepting of everyone. You know, I'd come and rehearse my plays in the gyms and all the lads and the girls, you know, they wouldn't care. They'd think it was great. But when the theatre people would meet my boxing friends, it was like, you know, and these theatre people, they're meant to be all loving and, you know, oh, lovely, you know, oh, we accept everybody. But it was really quite a culture shock for me because after my play, I was lucky enough to win a writing scholarship to the National Theatre. It was a 2-year course. And I was on it with published authors. You know, I'd just written this simple little play I'd put on in a local pub. But I was with these authors and drama teachers from Oxford University, you know, big deals. And I felt like completely out of my depth. And the tutor, it was this tutor, he just wouldn't look at me in the eye. I think he just thought I was sometimes I'd turn up to the lectures, I'd be on crutches after I'd broken my leg or I'd have black eyes, but I still turn up to my lectures. And it was just one night I went home. I don't cry a lot. I'm not a big cry. But I went home and my wife at the time, I was nearly in tears. I felt humiliated just the way I was treated. It was quite surreal, quite a snobby attitude to people. Classist, very classist. That's what I found, my experience.
Stephen, you had a long road to overcome the addiction. You mentioned that you had an addiction and you turned the energy of yours to something very positive. What was your secret? What made you?
Age, I think. I mean, because I worked in nightclubs like 5-6 nights a week. And then when I wasn't working in them, I was in them. And when I married, I wasn't an evil fellow. I didn't do anything evil, but I was very irresponsible. I wasn't driven. I didn't know how to get into my films because I'd been turned down. I was directionless. And the more I was in pubs, I was just drinking and partying and just trying to dry it. I don't want to moan about this because it sounds rubbish, but I was diagnosed for bipolar and I'd hallucinate. I'd have voices in my head. And the only way I could calm them down with drink. And that's not making an excuse. I was a very irresponsible person at that time. So no, the drink really kept going and going. And it's only recently I've lost a lot of relationships through it. Lost a lot of things, and it's only in the last, it's slowly dwindled and dwindled away. And it's like this last year I've just totally had enough of myself. It was like I got myself by the, I was tired of my, can I say shit?
Yes, you can.
I was tired of my bullshit and I just got fed up of myself. And now I'm excelling much more. I know how to deal with my head. It's not just the depressions. I get euphoric. I get so euphoric naturally. And like sometimes I get ideas and my head's like a washing machine and I can't write them down. And I get frustrated and angry. And the only thing that would calm me down would be to drink. But now I feel in the best position of my life. I really feel I've got it under control. And so, I'm quite pleased with the position I'm in at the minute, but it's taken a hell of a lot of time.
So we can say that your passion for movies and drama was the guiding light for you out of chaos?
That and my training. I mean, without training, I'd probably be dead or in prison. I'm not sure, one or the other. That's my only reasons for living is cinema. Cinema and my training, really, and my mum. But outside of my mum and people, it's what just drives me, wanting to make my films. It's all I am. You know, other people have whatever it is that they like to do. You know, some people they want kids, some people want a house, some people want this, some people. I just want to make my films. That's all that matters to me. You know, materialistic things they come and go, but I just want to make my films and do it my way. You know, I've never been trained. No one's ever shown. Everyone told me what I couldn't do all the time. What I couldn't. You don't do it like this, Steve. You don't do it like this. But I wanted to either fail or not fail by myself and do it my way. Learn. I didn't have the money to go to film school or to learn in that respect. So it was just learning on the job.
So I guess I see that you had passion of which was driving you, and that was the best force for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the older I get, the more enthusiastic I get. I see other people my age, they start, and there's nothing wrong with this. Everyone lives, I'm not criticizing anyone, but I see other people, you know, they start slowing down when they're just in their 40s and, you know, they stay in and they're watching that X Factor or whatever it is. I'm just getting going. I feel like I'm an all or nothing kind of person. You know, I either do it full on 100% or just don't bother. You know, it's kind of like, let's do this or don't do it.
That's wonderful, because when I hear how many people are getting turned down by the failures or somebody won't take time to see what's so special in each individual, most of the people gets destroyed, but to have energy and strength and passion and believing in your own self to make one extra step and finally succeed, it takes character, and I'm glad that you do have it.
Oh, thank you. That's nice. Thank you. I see people far more talented than me, you know, really gifted writers or songwriters or play, whatever it is, you know, anything. I see so many fantastically talented people, but a lot of them are too frightened to be criticized or to put themselves out there. And I think that's what you have, you know, it's all right being Shakespeare, but if you're just in your room not showing anyone, you know, you have to develop a muscle in your head. I try not to swear, but a sod it, you know, F you, you know, I hope people like what I'm doing, but if they don't, it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I want people to like it, but if they don't, tough, you know, it's the best I can do.
Yours. Yeah.
Especially on the money I have, you know, which is basically non-existent. So,
well, sometimes you can have lots. One person may have lots of money and no talent, and those money not gonna buy neither talent, nor health, nor love, nor any success. Money is just a vehicle to expand what's really inside you. So it's amazing.
Absolutely, yeah. but it would really take this next one. I really want to take it up to the next level because the last three films, you know, they've really killed me. You know, you went, I mean, I've had good people around me, but you have to drive every aspect of it. And it's so especially when you're working full time and you're looking after people, it just drains you. And I had a heart attack on my last one, just with the stress. I was going through different things in my life at the time. I wasn't living very well, so I had to make changes to myself. But so the next one, I'm trying to get more money so that we can make it to a higher standard. But I'm coming across a lot of people who say they have money, but they're just born liars. So whilst waiting for to get a budget for the new film, I've written six sitcom because I saw the BBC, Sky TV, they were looking for six half-hour screenplays, sitcoms. And we've actually filmed the first one last week. I thought we might as well film it. I just want to do something all the time rather than just sit around. So, yeah, we filmed it last week. And we'll send that off and see what happens with that. But, yeah, just keep going.
What makes you get up in the morning and go through your day?
Having to go and do my crappy job. but apart from that, I'd be up anyway. I have to go to the gym. I train like twice, if I can, three times a day at the minute. Because if I have a spare minute in my head, it's like a devil on my shoulder. He goes, "Hey," because I've got 3 days off at the minute, and there's a devil on my shoulder. It'll go, "Steve, you've worked really hard. Come on, have a drink. Come on, you can have a drink for a couple of days." And I'm going, "Yeah, I could do, couldn't I?" And then this shoulder goes, "No, we've got shit to do. You get writing, you get doing this, you get doing this." And then, it's so tiring. Yeah, you have like a battle for half a day. But at the minute, the good shoulder keeps winning. So just going to the gym, step by step, writing, talking to nice people like you, talking to the good people around me. We're doing some filming tomorrow. And not let them, you know, I used to lie about it to hide from other people, but now I don't want to lie to myself anymore. You know, I want to be honest with myself and treat myself with dignity. I want to treat myself with dignity and respect. It's good at the minute. It's good.
Do you know how meaningful it is what you're saying right now? Because there are so many people who are going either from with the same thing what you're going through, or even worse. And they probably, I know a lot of people myself who would not consider themselves worthy of a lot of stuff because they've been rejected so many times. So when you are saying how freshly you are out of all the trouble, since the devil's still behind your shoulder trying to pull you in, that's so important and so vital for others to hear that they are not alone. That's part
he's
of
it. He's on my shoulder now. He's going because I've got tomorrow off work as well. He's literally been on my.
Kick him off. Kick him off.
Come on, tomorrow. Let's have a drink. But this one, it's funny. Yeah.
This podcast is a people-driven stories. It's driven by stories. So yours is very fascinating. Just showing that you are one of many, but you are one step ahead of time to make your life more meaningful and follow your passion. That's amazing. Nice.
It's taken a long time for my head to get there, but it's but you know, different people, different times, but yes, it seems to be working now. I've never even talked about it before, to be honest. I've never talked about it because I never wanted to tell anyone because I wasn't sure, you know. Yeah, so I've never ever talked about it before.
So thank you for being very open and honest here.
No, thank you. Thank you.
What would you say to people who are struggling now? What would you advise them to do? How to hold on?
Well, I wouldn't like to think, because, you know, I wouldn't like to think I was like Yoda or anything, like some high, is it some who's got his life together? Because I haven't. I've only just really got a hold of it myself now. But you've got to have something to focus on, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a film. It doesn't have to be a film, and not for someone else. It has to be for you. I think to give yourself dignity, and I just don't want to lie anymore to people what I'm doing, and then you're lying to yourself. And I want to treat myself with dignity, and then I can feel a better person, because I've done shitty things in my life, and I'm fed up of it, and I want to. I think just to find something you can focus on, whatever it is, just one step at a time. Because the other day I felt like I was already wanting to drink, but I thought, I'll just get up, right, we'll go to the gym, then we'll deal with that after. Then after the gym, right, I'll go and do some writing, okay? And now it's okay, because now I go to work. I can't drink at work. Okay, great, I've got through the day. That's, you know, you just got to focus on something, not have loose time or. But we're all different, so I wouldn't like to pretend that I had all the answers, because I truly don't.
You actually do. You would be surprised. I really like the way you are talking and what I hear right now. So giving yourself dignity, focusing on something important, I'm just repeating back what you just said. That's amazing. And that's a great start when you're busy. And when I would add one more, and I kind of also got it from what you were saying, to have someone who would encourage you to the fullest. And I believe that that's what is your mother, because you
know, my mom, about she's her. She's been trying. I mean, it's funny, my mom's 87 and she's really going downhill now. She was a really independent woman until last year, 2 years ago. She was doing school runs at 86.
Wow.
But then suddenly she got Parkinson's. She had open heart surgery the week after I had my heart attack.
Oh my God!
I was trying to hide my heart. I hid my heart. I was in hospital. I had my heart attack from her. I told her I fell off my bike, and then she had open heart surgery. Then she fell and broke her arm. She's got Parkinson's now, so she's really just taken a dive. And all these years, she's wanted me to stop, and I don't know, and I really want to owe it to her so that she can see. You never know what's around the corner, so I just want her to see that I've done it more than the films. Yeah.
So you did. That's amazing. That is amazing. How passionately you are talking about your mom, and that I see the bond you both have, and that's wonderful. So another question. So tell me about those three films you've done.
The first film was the play. I did the play first of all. Then I was fortunate enough to win a scholarship to New York Film Academy, but I had to live in New York for a year. So I bought a taxi so that I could work loads. And I entered a cage fighting tournament, but I broke my leg. So New York was out the question. So then every cloud has a silver lining. I decided I'd turn the film the play into a feature film. I didn't know how, didn't have training, didn't have money. In fact, I was in debt, but I thought, sod it, let's just do it. I got all the artistic people I knew into one room, just about making a trailer. But they told me, Steve, you're going to need this, you're going to need that, you're going to need £10,000 just for a trailer. And I said, shut up. So we just got a normal DSLR camera with my friend Johnny. We filmed a little trailer for it, very rough, stuck it on Facebook, got a good little following. It was very rough, but it gave me more confidence. So I adapted the script, made it into a feature film, cast it. I only directed because I couldn't afford one, but I love cinema, and so I was just directing through my love of of cinema, and we got it done. It was very kamikaze style, guerrilla style. We were getting kicked off premises and the police were chasing us off, but we got it done. And then I did my second film the same way. That was quite tough. We had to do a boxing fight. We did it in front of a real fight crowd, in front of 1,500 people. And then the third one, the second film was very dark. So I wanted to make the third one, the last one, Relentless, quite fun, sort of action-y, bit of humour. And we just finished that. They've all just got distribution. So now just trying to make the fourth one and take it up to the next level. Been trying to contact Star Names to get them involved. I just want to direct this time. And yeah, try and get a name involved so that we can take it up to the big leagues. But it's taking time and I hate waiting around. So that's why we're doing the sitcom in the meantime. But they're all on IMDb, they're all on Amazon and can be watched and downloaded and streamed on the usual platforms.
We're going to include those links in the footnotes of the show. So other people who would be...
Yeah, they're on my website, hardworkfilms.co.uk. But yeah, have a look on there. If you have trouble sleeping at night, they can help you sleep. Very good for insomnia.
Okay.
Have a watch, have a look. Yeah, have a look at the website for anybody interested.
Wonderful, we'll do that. Right. I learned something about you today.
Yeah.
One word who I probably say describes you all, Relentless. That's the name of your movie, but...
Absolutely. Keep going. Keep going, Tatiana. Keep going.
Steve. That's
Thank you very much, Tatiana, for asking me. It's been lovely to speak to you.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping when you will do your fourth movie, you will come back and we will talk
100%.
About it.
100%. You're a lovely lady. Thank you, Tatiana.
Thank you so much for having here. And I'm wishing you all good luck, all the best. And just come back to share with us your new success. And we're wishing
nice
you
one, Tatiana. That was lovely. Good luck with everything. Thank you.
And that's it. It's time to wrap up another episode. You can find any of your favorite episodes anywhere where you are listening to your podcasts. Google, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Could you possibly do me a favor and leave a review there to help other amazing people like yourself to find my podcasts faster? If you got a question, suggestion, or just want to say hello, please find me on Instagram at _TatianaDavidoff. Until next episode, stay safe, motivated, peaceful, happy. Bye-bye.